Good evening, friends. Well, I enjoy coming here. Do you enjoy having me here? Wow, what a wonderful privilege to be here and to spend some time with you tonight. As I said, it's always an honor to be able to minister to the hearts of people. And you are all precious, and Jesus loves you very, very much. And you have to believe that, because He went all the way for you and me. Father, tonight we just want to thank You for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to be gathered together in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for every person that has made their way here tonight, and for every person that is listening to this recording. Lord, touch their lives in a mighty and powerful way, as only You can, by Your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that every ear will be open and every heart ready to receive this message, Lord, that is brought tonight. Have Your way, Father, in and through us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, we serve such a powerful God. You know, the joy that is in my heart is boiling. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight. Amen. I truly am, because I can see in you something that ignites hope in me. I can see a hunger in your eyes. I can see a hunger for the Lord, a thirst for Him. And you know what? God will not disappoint you. He will not disappoint you, because He loves you. Amen. This is a message from my heart. I'm going to speak about breaking the chains of unforgiveness. And I really want you to pay careful attention, because an unforgiving attitude will eat at your life and remove all the joy from you. Unforgiveness is a malignant cancer of the soul. And the only cure is to forgive. That is the only cure. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read from Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. And I'll be using the New Living Translation. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners freed. Now, before I read the next verse, there are many prisoners here tonight. You're walking around with a callous heart. But there is a promise for you. The Lord, by His Holy Spirit, promises freedom and liberty to you tonight. Verse 2. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Times of refreshing. Verse 3. To all who mourn in Israel, or I could say, to all who mourn in Zandspruit, to all who mourn, wherever you might be listening to this, here is a promise from the Lord to you. He will give you a crown of beauty for ashes. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. And festive praise instead of despair. Three promises that is yours tonight. In their righteousness, They will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted in His own glory. I am expectant tonight, and I can sense amongst you an expectancy that God is going to do something special for you tonight. I believe it with all of my heart, because our God is a miracle working God. He's a dynamic God, and He's a God who saves. I am sure that if I asked you to raise your hands, if you have ever been hurt, disappointed, backstabbed, used and abused, or even victimized in any way, I am sure the response will be overwhelming. We'd all have to raise our hands. You might not have chosen to be victimized. You might not. But you do have a choice whether you will live your life as a victim or stand up through the strength that Christ gives you and live your life as an overcomer. That is a real choice that we all have to make. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5 from the NIV. It reads as follows. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Whom of you know that unforgiveness is a stronghold? And the devil uses that to destroy many lives. Verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And this is important. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let me repeat that. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Friends, there's no other way to say this. But let's get rid of stinking thinking. Let's get rid of it. We should stop hoarding our problems and start casting all our cares upon Jesus. Because He cares for you. Right? People like hoarding their problems. We shouldn't do it. Jesus paid a high price for us, and there is power in the blood of Jesus. The devil has got no power against God. He was totally defeated on the cross. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you will walk around with a dustbin full of rotten, decaying trash on your back? How many of you will do that? Walk around physically with a dustbin on your back full of rotten, decaying, smelly, filthy trash? Doesn't make sense. But many people do that. In the spiritual, but they just wear some fragrant fresheners on their nose.
just to hide the smell, right? Nobody in their right mind will do that. Walking around with a dustbin and the air freshener hanging on your nose just to disguise the smell of what you're dragging around with you. Doesn't make sense. But friends, you can walk around like that and keep changing the fragrant fresheners every week by listening to feel-good messages. But unless you get rid of the trash, the problem is not going to go away. That freshener will hide the smell, but the smell's there. We need to deal with the problem. And a lot of the problems people are facing every day has its root in either unforgiveness or offense. Because that causes rebellion. And we know that the Bible says rebellion is like witchcraft. The reality is that every person on this planet is facing some sort of problem. Every person. We all have to endure various trials and tribulations. Everybody. No person is exempt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and reading from the New Living Translation, the Bible says, the temptations in your life are no different from that which others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Highlight this part. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now I'm telling you tonight, many of you have been walking around with this burden on your shoulders. This weight that you're dragging behind you of something that happened in your past where somebody either hurt you or caused offense in your life. And you've been dragging that thing around and it's become an open wound in your life. And open wounds attract flies and maggots. And I tell you that there is a way out. And by the Holy Spirit, many of you will be liberated from those shackles of oppression which the devil has brought on your life. We need to let go and let God. You see, in every struggle or temptation that we face, we should have a high regard for God's grace and keep the moral high ground. That is very important. Friends, if somebody hurt you, it is better to draw a line in the sand for yourself. Not to intimidate others, but to stop yourself from crossing it. Here is some free advice. Take it or leave it. It's absolutely included with this message. For free. Don't engage a fool on his level, because he will drag you down and beat you with experience. Okay? We set the moral standard. We are ambassadors for Christ. As a Christian, we represent Christ here on earth. We have light that needs to shine. God is good. Let me share a little story with you. I like telling stories. I'm sure you've noticed. A few years ago, our little girl had to spend some time in hospital due to a fever. One afternoon during that week, I had to leave early during visiting hours to attend a meeting with local pastors for a crusade we were planning. As I approached my car, a young man in his mid-20s to early 30s walked towards me and asked me for 50 rand. He then told me this long story of how he and his wife and daughter were living in a tent near a dam, and he needed the money to pay his rent, or else they would be kicked out. As the man spoke, I felt uneasy about it. I really did. And it didn't confirm with my spirit that this was actually the truth. But of course, in the end, if the Lord sent somebody to me, I'm definitely not going to let the opportunity to witness pass me by. Hallelujah. You better believe that. So after sharing this long story with me, I just put my hand on his shoulder and started sharing the gospel with him. At the end of that, he gave his heart to Jesus right there in the parking lot next to the hospital. After spending about 5 minutes or so ministering to him, I took out my Bible, highlighted a few verses that I believed God wanted him to read. Obedience, friends, is better than sacrifice. Anyway, then I gave it to him. I did not give that man anything else. I just sowed seed and trusted God that something will come of it. Because I believed that God was going to do a miracle for this man. I didn't know what, but I knew that something was going to happen. After I had prayed for him, we parted ways, and I continued with my day as per normal. Everybody say, but God. But God. A few months later, I went to Dr. Yusuf Dadu Hospital to pray for some of the patients. As I entered one of the rooms, I saw a young man sitting upright in the corner. Our eyes briefly met, only for a moment, but I could sense something happening in my spirit. There was a sense of expectancy filling my heart. Now, at that time, I didn't recognize him. But I continued to pray for all the other patients until I reached his bed. Suddenly, that young man burst into tears. Then he looked at me and said, "You might not remember me, but a few months ago, I approached you outside the hospital and asked you for 50 rand to pay rent for my family." "Yes," I replied, "I remember you." Then he burst into tears again. He got up and he hugged me and he started sharing some of what had happened to him after we had met that day in the parking outside of the hospital. This is an incredible testimony. Absolutely incredible. Something only God could do. It turned out that none of what he had told me was true. He needed the money to pay for drugs. That little seed sown in faith led to this young man repenting to God. He booked himself into hospital for rehabilitation. He made contact with his father, whom he had not seen in years due to the reprobate lifestyle that he was leading. And they too reconciled. He forgave his father for the hurt he felt, and his father forgave him for the wrongs he had done. And last but not least, the young man forgave himself. Friends, I tell you, nothing is impossible with God. I can only praise the Lord for the things that He does every single day in my life. Sometimes we are not even aware of it, but His presence is always there. God isn't only with us in church, He's with us all the time. Even Jesus, one of His names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, when we reach out to God and repent of our sins, His forgiveness totally obliterates past failures. And the door that leads to the land of new beginnings is opened. Psalm 31 verse 19 NIV. How abundant are the good things that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. Hallelujah. Forgiveness cannot change the past. Let's be honest. We know that. Forgiveness cannot change the past. But it does have a profound effect on the future. It has a massive effect on your quality of life that you're able to lead. Can I just share from my heart? I'm not picking on anybody. But I do feel that this needs to be said. I need you to listen carefully. No person can stop God from forgiving a repenting sinner. Listen. No person can stop God from forgiving a repenting sinner. Not you, nor me, nor anybody on this planet has ever paid so high a price as Jesus paid to save and to set sinners free. None of us can stop God from forgiving a repenting sinner. Friends, we do stupid things sometimes without even thinking about it. But the reality is that the moment that we are hurt, the test becomes ours. The person that hurt you failed their test. But now we have a test, and we need to pass that test. You see, I do not understand what on earth can make people think that they can lock heaven's gate. It blows my mind. Any person that thinks that they can lock heaven's gate has been totally deceived. And that is the person failing the test. Maybe this verse will help. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Does this mean that you can get away with hurting others as long as you are quick to repent? Not at all. Not at all. If this is your attitude, you too are deceived, and you are making a mockery of God's grace. Forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. And do not hurt others, because it has an effect on their lives. And God will hold us accountable. But there is time to make right. There is time because God made time for repentance. You see, if God didn't forgive sinners, the reality is heaven would be empty. Right? That's the truth. So we want God to forgive us. We need to be open to forgive others. Because I can tell you, we hurt God more than we hurt others. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, from the NIV. Jesus speaking. He says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is a hard thing, because some of us have been hurt badly. Badly. But we have the Holy Spirit, friends. The Bible calls Him the Helper. And He will take you far and beyond your natural abilities. Because He will give you the supernatural ability through His Holy Spirit to overcome these things. You see, forgiveness doesn't excuse ungodly behavior. But forgiveness prevents ungodly behavior from destroying your life. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. Please listen. It is not something that we do for other people. Yes, it's good to forgive. But you know what? It is something we do for ourselves so that we may be able to move on. Anyone can hold a grudge. Anyone. That's not something to be proud of. But it takes a person with character to forgive. When you forgive, you release yourself from a painful burden. You release yourself. Renowned Christian author Lewis B. Smead said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free. Right? To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that prisoner was you. It's the truth. Many people are walking around with a smile on their face, but they've got a dagger through the heart. I call them the walking wounded. Remember, if you leave a festering wound untreated, the infection can kill you. It's the same with sin. It's the same with unforgiveness. As I said, it is a malignant cancer of the soul. And the only thing to cure it is to forgive. You don't have to pretend that everything is okay. You don't have to. I tell you tonight, we are going to deal with the rubbish on the back. We're going to deal with that. I know that it is not easy to let go. It's not. But if you don't forgive, the unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. I know that God is pointing out things into every heart of every person that is listening to me tonight. He's revealing things in your life that you need to let go of. People you need to forgive. Also, some of you might have gone out and hurt others. You'll have an opportunity tonight to repent. And if you ever have the opportunity, ask for forgiveness. But the moment, and I want you to listen, the moment that you are open and honest to God, and you open your heart to Him, even if you have committed many of these wrongs against many people, if you reach out to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness, He will forgive you. But you need to forgive yourself as well. That is just as important. And we serve a wonderful God. You see, God brings conviction through His Holy Spirit. Many of you sitting here, your hearts are burning. I know it. As I'm ministering, your hearts are burning. Why? Because I'm ministering in spirit and in truth. So the Holy Spirit is ministering to your hearts. Because He wants to liberate you and set you completely free. The devil will bring condemnation. There's a big difference between the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and the condemnation that comes through Satan. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, He draws you nearer to God. When the devil brings condemnation into your life, He'll try to push you away from God. That's the easiest way to discern between the two. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 47 reads, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. Listen to this portion. For the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Friends, bitterness is like a professional sniper, intent on killing joy in your life the moment that it pops out. Bitterness and joy cannot inhabit one life. I know many of you have tears flowing tonight. Many more that are listening here. God is talking to you, and He is emphatically stating that you need to forgive those who hurt you. And if you were the one that caused the hurt, you need to repent of your sins and God will forgive you. And remember to forgive yourself and learn from the mistakes so that you do not do it again. Draw the line in the sand. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. But it is time that we enter together into the land of new beginnings. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from the oppression of the devil. There is freedom from the rubbish bag or rubbish bin on your back. There is freedom from the shackles of hatred. There is freedom from the heavy weight that you've been carrying with you all your life. The power of the Lord will annihilate the bonds of Satan and liberate you perfectly. You don't have to be bound anymore, because the anointing breaks the yoke. Friends, we read in Isaiah 61, in verse 3, the three things that God wants to give you tonight. A crown of beauty instead of ashes. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. And festive praise instead of despair. We serve a mighty God. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, the Bible says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. As we gather here tonight, God wants to heal every broken heart. It is in our darkest moments that the light of truth shines brightest, as we encounter true love, God's divine love, and experience His abundant saving grace, as hurting hearts are healed right now in the name of Jesus. Friends, before we pray together, let me just say this to you. The devil will try to convince you that you have the right to withhold forgiveness. He will try that. He will give you a million reasons why your hatred is justified. He'll color it in. He'll make it look pretty. But tonight is the night the walls are coming down in Jesus' name. Now, I want every person here. We're gonna pray together. We're gonna pray together right now. I'm gonna lead you in prayer because it's time to deal with these things. Pray with me. Father God, I forgive everybody that has ever sinned against me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Have your way in me, Lord. Yes, just pray, just pray. You can pray in tongues, just pray. Let's just pray together. Yes, let's just pray together for a moment. Just where you are, just pray. Father, as the people are praying, Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will reveal to them things in their hearts that they need to deal with. Father, show it to them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for helping those who have really been struggling. Thank you for helping them, Father, to get rid of the junk that the devil has thrown on them all their life. Thank you for healing broken hearts. Thank you for destroying the walls built by the evil one. Thank you for removing the chains of oppression. Thank you for setting the captives free. Thank you, mighty God. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, mighty God. Yes, have your way tonight, Lord. Have your way tonight, mighty God. Take every heart that was callous and hard, and give every person a heart of flesh. Restore the brokenness in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now we take authority over the works of the devil. And in the name of Jesus, we loose every weapon of warfare that is not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Against any stronghold in any of the lives that are listening to this tonight, we bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will keep everybody safe, Lord, and continue to minister to every heart, even after the service tonight. Have your way, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, how many of you, just raise your hands, how many of you dealt with some baggage tonight? Just raise your hands. If you dealt with something tonight that's been on your back all your life, just wave at me. Because the Lord has set you free. He has set you free. Yes. So I just like to invite anybody here. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you have never come to the foot of the cross and given your life to Jesus, prayed the sinner's prayer, I'd like to invite you to come and pray with me. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths that we believe in our hearts that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So I'd like everybody that feels they'd like to give their lives to the Lord to come and pray with me. And also I'd like to invite the entire congregation just to stand to your feet and join us in prayer. Just stand to your feet and pray with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just repeat after me. Father God, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have forgiven everybody that sinned against me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Wash me clean. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.